Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty. Yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Those things, if you knew you were a queen, and my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper? If you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king, well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. But 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So, power to the chosen people. Who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. And that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Do you know who you are?
Baruch atah Yahweh, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvoto v'ratzavanu, v'shabbat kodish ko v'yahovohu v'rotzot. In kilanu zikaron lemase bereshit kehuyom tekilo lemikroe kodesh zeyeke litziot mitraim keva. Ve'atanu kidoshto mekol amin ve'shabbat kodesh ko be'ahavo uv'rotzon hinkaltanu baruch atah Yahweh Mekadesh HaShabbat Amen.
Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha.
This is your brother Ahaba, and welcome to another Friday night session. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. Tonight, I want to talk about something that has been on my heart for quite some time, and continuing with the discussion and somewhat of the theme from this week in regards to who speaks to Yahweh, or who speaks for Yahweh, not who speaks to Yahweh, but who speaks for Yahweh. You know, one of the things that the world, I think, has taken for granted, or the world has misunderstood, is that they think that the word of Yahweh is their own to possess. And it's not. Yahweh's word is his and his alone. And it is something that he chooses to give to people to speak on his behalf. And there's very specific criteria that he gives, qualifications that he has for the people whom he chooses. Now, you don't have to be any particular from any particular line or any particular pedigree. As a matter of fact, you don't even necessarily have to be a physical member of the nation of Israel, but you do have to be in a line with his word, and you do have to be in a line with the teaching and with the understanding that is given to his nation when they are obedient to him. And it's not exclusive as in you have to be, like I said, of a particular blood lineage, especially now with the identity of the true nation of Israel being lost. But you do have to be, as the word says, one who sojourns among the nation. And not necessarily meaning that you have to physically sojourn among the nation, because again, they are lost. But you do have to spiritually sojourn with that nation, in the sense of you do as Ruth did, said, my people will be your people, your God will be my God. So first thing you have to do is, because he said there is one instruction for the homeborn and one that sojourns among Israel. And he gave Israel specific instructions, a specific charge was given to them and to them only. And to be truthful, not even to all the nation in the sense of them when they are in error, they can speak on Yahweh's behalf. Because we see that in the situation that took place with Dathan and Korah. They were of the nation, but they had a different spirit among them. That spirit that challenged the authority of Yahweh. And if you don't know the story, I'll just sum it up for you. They who went against Moses and Aaron and against the leadership of Israel, and to be truthful, Dathan and Korah, they were of the tribe of Levi. And that was their contention. They are Levites. And as a right for them being Levites, they felt that they should be in equal leadership position, in an equal leadership position with Moses and with Aaron and with his sons. But Yahweh appointed Moshe and he appointed Aharon and his sons specifically out of the Levites to do a very specific task. So to make my point, that is a specific example in the scriptures when just because you are of the nation, and even if you are among that particular tribe, it does not give you the right to do certain things. Yahweh is the only one who can give rights and privileges to his people. And he specifically chooses spokespersons. See, nowadays anybody can go to the school of divinity. And once you go to a particular school of divinity and you go through a certain set of courses, you know, you think now that you have a right, or you think that you have a right to speak Yahweh's word and claim rather that you are speaking Yahweh's word. No, that is not the case. That is not the case. Going to a school and getting a degree in divinity does not give you the right to going to a yeshiva. I don't know what they call the Muslim schools that may be out there, but going to a yeshiva doesn't give you the right to speak on behalf of the God of Abraham, the power of Abraham, the power of Isaac, and the power of Jacob. Word from Yahushua himself. When those Pharisees and Sadducees came up against him, he said, hey, don't claim Abraham as your father. Because he said, if Abraham, you are truly the seed of Abraham, you would know who I am. And you would be obedient to Yahweh's servant, who Yahushua was. He was Yahweh's servant. So just because you are of the nation one, it doesn't give you the right to speak on Yahweh's behalf. Otherwise, he could just have a nation full of prophets. He could have a nation full of priests. And sadly to say, this is where a lot of this is going. Or rather, I take that back. This is where a lot of this has gone. But now people come into a particular knowledge, especially among the quote-unquote black community. You come into a particular knowledge about who you are within the scriptures or who you may be within the scriptures. You identify with it, and then, you know, you embrace it and you take it as your own, and then you feel like now you have a particular mission, so to speak, that you have a ministry, so to speak. You know, the first thing that me personally I look at for anybody who is out there and claims to speak on behalf of the word of Yahweh is once you say that this is your ministry, you've already lost me. Because a true servant of Yahweh would never say, this is mine. They would say, Yahweh has commissioned me, and on behalf of Yahweh, I am speaking a particular thing. Don't take my word for it. Look at what every one of the prophets starts their book out at. Let's say there may be a little preamble to one of the prophets, and it might say, like for instance with Isaiah, it says, you know, whose child he was and what lineage he was. And then shortly thereafter, it says, and his word came to me and compelled me to say such and such. He didn't say, I got up one day after reading a particular scripture and felt like now I have a right to speak on behalf of Yahweh. No, the scriptures say they were holy men. They were men that were set apart and spake as they were moved by his spirit. And we know that the scriptures say, don't trust every spirit, but try every spirit by the word of Yahweh. And whenever you see those prophets speak, whenever we read what they have left for us, what Yahweh has allowed to be preserved for us in this day and age, we see that these men did specifically what Yahweh asked them to do. Even Jeremiah, to the point where he tried to walk away, he said it was like fire shut up in his bones, and he could not stay. Jeremiah tried to walk away from his ministry, but Yahweh said who he had chosen Jeremiah from the womb. Before he came into existence, Jeremiah was chosen by Yahweh. And Yahweh just waited through the course of time for him to reach a point that when Yahweh was ready to move him, then his word pushed him, compelled him. You know, Yahweh's word gives you an offer you cannot refuse, and not in the sense of, you know, do it or die, but in a sense, it is do it because I want to live. Do it because I want to see your will be done. Do it because I am compelled by my love and my adoration and the fact that you have blessed me to see and to understand a particular thing, that my gratitude and my humility now puts me in a level, in a relationship with you, that I want to do what is pleasing before your sight, that I only want to speak what you want me to speak, that I only want to do what it is that you want me to do. And we are not Yahushua, so we are going to fall short. And every one of the prophets fell short. Every one of Yahweh's chosen, except for Yahushua, fell short at one point in their life. But Yahweh still used them. You know, we're back to the thought. It's not given to everyone to do. You know, we, in any inner city, especially in quote unquote black neighborhoods, you are going to find several churches of several denominations with pastors, reverends, ministers, all claiming on Sunday morning to be speaking on behalf of the God of creation. If they knew his word and were truly obedient servants to his word, first and foremost, they wouldn't be worshiping him on a Sunday morning when that's not in his word. They wouldn't. Because there's nothing in the word of Yahweh that supports the keeping of Sunday worship. But yet and still, every Sunday morning, faithfully, there's several services throughout the entire day of Sunday that people come together and worship him or claim to worship him when that's not what he asked them to do if they're worshiping him. He gave specific instructions on how to worship him, and it does not include coming together on Sunday morning and claim that is the day that is ordained by him and his word. That's not true. You know, I do have a scripture that I want to start off with, fam. And this scripture is coming from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 79. And, you know, I came across this scripture because, you know, there's a lot of things right now that's on my heart that I want to talk about, and I haven't been able to teach for the last couple of weeks, you know, and I have a confession to make. You know, last week I really wanted to bring across a lesson. I really did. But truth be told, Abba didn't give me anything that really sat in my spirit and said, speak it. And I'm not one of those people who likes to just go out and what I feel I want to speak. And Yahweh had to teach me a very valuable lesson last week because I allowed the cares of this world to get in between me and him, me and being involved in his word. And I thought to myself that I could just, you know, hey, it's Sabbath. I mean, you know, it's Friday night. You know, this is my time to be on Blog Talk and to speak on behalf of your word, you know, but I hadn't been in his word all week long. You know, I allowed the cares of this world, my job, to distract me to the point that I didn't study any scripture. I didn't even listen to any of the other Blog Talk lessons last week because I allowed the cares of this world, work, fatigue, whatever, what have you, you know, to get in between me and keeping my relationship solid with my Heavenly Father. But you know, one of the things that I learned about Yahweh is he's got a good way of teaching you a lesson. He will shut you down. And he shut me down last week. And it hurt me. It hurt me terribly to the point where on the Shabbat, my spirit didn't even feel right to give up praise to my Father because I was hurt and I was angry. But later on that week, my brother called me and he talked to me. And it was something that he said that pricked my heart. We don't study enough. We can't take his word for granted. We cannot feel like, oh, yeah, I got it, and not put in the work, not prepare a lesson, not study. We can't just quote, unquote, wing it with his exact words. Granted, there are times you're going to be moved by the unction of Yahweh's spirit to go ahead and say something. He's going to give you. He told us not to give any thought to what we're going to teach, but those are in specific circumstances. But when you know you have a particular thing to do for your Heavenly Father, he wants you prepared. He wants you, if you're going to represent him, he wants you to stay within his presence. And he doesn't care what comes out in your life because a lot of times he will allow these things to come. If we believe that we are his people, the flock under his care, that means that everything we do in our life, he is in control of. But the one thing he always wants us to do is to seek his face continually, even if it's 15 minutes He wants to know that you have a sincere desire to be in his presence for 15 minutes. You know, one of the things I learned about Yahweh, and please don't take this the wrong way, and please don't think that I'm trivializing this in any way. He has emotions just like we have emotions. And I'm going to prove that through his word. Does he not say, I, Yahweh, your Elohim, your mighty one, am a jealous Elohim? And we're going to look at that later. That he is jealous. He gets jealous. Think about this. If you're married or if you've been in a relationship, you're in a relationship now, and you may not necessarily, you know, be married, but that's besides the point. But you have a significant other. Well, let's say you're not with anybody, but you have children. Or you have something that you care about. Say a pet, okay, even. And that pet or that person, you know, shows you affection, you know, lets you know that it loves you. One of my greatest joys as being a parent was whenever I would come into the presence of my children when they're younger. You know, as you get older, you know, you're kind of, you know, their attitude towards you is like, hey, how you doing? But when you're a parent and your children are young, man, they always greet you with, hey, daddy, hey, and they let you know, I've missed you. Or let's say, like I said, you have a pet, and you know that, and anytime you come to that door, and I had a dog once, and anytime they know that they sense your presence coming in, they get excited to see you. But let's say, for instance, one day you came to the door and your pet just looked at you and kind of like walked away. Wouldn't that prick your heart if you're a pet owner? Wouldn't that hurt you if you're a pet owner? You would wonder, what's wrong with your pet? What's going on? Is something wrong with your pet? Or let's say, I mean, I went to pick up my son one day, and the one day that he wasn't excited to see me because he wanted to play with some toys, I felt some kind of way about that. I was jealous. That jealousy rose up within me because my son chose a toy, which is what children will do. The one instance a young child will ignore you for is he wanted to play with a toy. And I was jealous of the fact that my child didn't show me the love and affection that I normally get shown whenever I come into their presence. Well, the same thing with Yahweh. The same thing with Yahweh. He wants to know that you have a yearning desire to be in his presence. And when you don't, it hurts his feelings. And you know what he has to do sometimes? And I understand now why David cried out to him and said, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Because when you feel you're in the presence of Yahweh, and you feel when you're in the presence of Yahweh, it is a nice, comforting, warm feeling when you open up his word or you show the desire to study and understand his word, and he opens up his word to you and lets you know that he is rewarding you by the different things that he is helping you to see about his word, whether it's a particular verse, whether it's a particular word within that verse, you know, and whether it doesn't mean that you get some deep revelation or deep understanding, but sometimes you might get, you might look over scripture and have a different understanding about it or see a different situation within the scriptures that you may not have recognized before. Sometimes you read an entire book of a particular, or one of the books of the Bible, or one of the books in the scriptures, or from the prophets, or from one of the writings, or whatever. And then when you go back and read through it again, and you catch something that you know you read, your mind, your eye, your spirit catches something that you may not have caught before, and you're like, "Wow, Abba, thank you for that revelation. Thank you for opening my eyes so that I can see." Think about it. If he doesn't open your eyes to the scriptures, you are blind to the scriptures. And if you don't believe that's true, especially as a believer, just look at the world. Look at the word. Look at how many people walk around every day with their Bible. You got some people that walk around every day with their Bible but don't see the basic things that are required of them as a believer in the Bible. And the proof of that is, watch how many people on Friday, December 25th, 2015, are going to go to churches to celebrate the Christ Mass. You know, one of the things I learned about that word is how it's a very dubious word, and it can trick you. It's because everybody says it so quickly, Christmas. Don't even say, you don't even pronounce the T in there, it's Christmas. But the truth of the matter is that word is pronounced, the roots of that word, and it's still spelled that way and should still be pronounced, is Christ Mass. Because the owners and the authors of that particular ritual, they hold Mass. And this particular Mass that they hold every December 25th is dedicated to their devotion to this person whom they call Christ. So they have a Christ Mass. And them being the mother and father, or as the scriptures state, as the mother of harlots, this harlot had children. And as a result of this harlot having children, her children are doing exactly what she taught them to do. And that is to follow her lead on December 25th and participate in the Christ Mass. Now, her children are as savvy as she is. And, you know, we tend to change words a little bit, you know, but her too doesn't call it the Christ Mass. She calls it Christmas too. But because everybody's calling it Christmas, they tend to disassociate it with its originator, to the point where even people who claim to quote unquote not even believe in Christ, and I don't use the name Christ because it is not Yahushua HaMashiach, plain and simple. So I don't use either term to associate with the only Messiah, the one that was sent by Yahweh to Israel, whose name is Yahushua, and we surname it with HaMoshiach because that's who he is. He is the anointed of Yahweh, the one and only anointed of Yahweh. So you have these people engaged in it who don't even believe in this, in his quote unquote divinity, who don't even believe that he exists. You will have college professors who are atheists engaged in this quote unquote religious festival. Well, now some of them are becoming a little bit more wise to what this season really is. And I'm not talking about, you know, this isn't a lesson about, you know, Christmas or whatever. I wouldn't even teach a lesson on it because guess what? If you're really serious about learning about it, Google it. Google the truth of Christ Mass. Or you don't even have to pronounce the proper term. Just put in the truth about Christ and it'll give you all the rituals surrounding it. So you have those now who have become that savvy and they now keep the Yuletide. So, and like I said, I ain't getting into no lesson about that. That's not what it is. We're talking about who speaks for Yahweh, but just going this route. And you will have, you know, these people now that realize that, oh, it is a pagan holiday. It is not a day that is associated with this quote-unquote Lord and Savior who these Christian people follow or whatever. So, yeah, I can keep this festival because it's not a religious festival anyway. Or at least it's not the religious festival that the world tries to promote it to be. But anyway, not to get into that, because we are talking about who speaks for Yahweh. And I do have a scripture. I promise you I have a scripture. I have several scriptures. But it's been 2 weeks. So guess what? I'm kind of backed up on talking about the word of Yahweh. So please You know, bear with me. So I have some things that I want to get out. You know, but it's really important that we know and understand who speaks for Yahweh. But I want to start off with this. And it's something else that's been on my heart for quite some time because, you know, we see the things that are taking place around us, you know. And one of the things that Yahweh placed in my heart was that in order for Yahweh's will to be done, his people have to be established, his people have to be recognized, and his people have to be doing his will. If his people aren't established, if his people aren't recognized, and his people aren't doing his will, and I might have that a little bit out of order in where I want the thought to go, but the world has to see that there are a group of people that are totally walking against what this world system has established. See, Yahushua already came and did his part. He totally went against the grain. But now those of us who are trying to walk in the footsteps of Yahushua, in order for, and I remember my rabbi of old teaching us this, and not that you can really force Yahweh's hand, but because Yahweh's hand cannot be forced. His hand will move when he wants to move it. Nothing can force his hand. Except now if you do something really foolish. But as far as his divine will and the order that he has set, even Yahushua said, it is not my time for certain things, but he did those particular miracles because still he would establish Yahweh. But the time that was appointed for him to go through and fulfill the will of Yahweh, the ultimate will that Yahweh had for his life, that had to be done on Yahweh's time. But anyway, you know, one of the things that we have to make sure, you know, that we understand, especially those of us who are calling ourselves Yisrael, that there are certain things that are dependent upon us, and they're dependent upon us coming out and dependent upon us being recognized and established as people who are going against the grain, people who are doing things that the world does not agree with. It is up to Yisrael. And once Yisrael is established and they are set up, because the world has to see Yisrael in order for them to go against Yisrael. And I'm talking about spiritual Yisrael, the people that have come from all nations from around the world that have chosen to separate themselves from this world system and to do his will, that they will start to get recognized to the point now, whereas my Moray always says, they become the proverbial fly in the ointment. So there has to be a people that the world recognizes as Yisrael. And I'm not talking about a parcel of land, but the world has to recognize a group of people as the ones who are going against everything this world system has established in trying to do Yahweh's will. And that's the key part, right, the key component. They're trying to do Yahweh's will. So they're keeping these feast days that people never heard of. They're practicing these rituals that people say, oh, those are ancient, you know, those are antiquated. Those are things that people shouldn't be engaged in anymore. You know, some things are barbaric. You know, I even hear people talking about not circumcising your sons because the act of circumcision is barbaric. Well, as gruesome or as barbaric as it may seem to some people, I don't think there's any man who watches a circumcision and doesn't cringe at the sight. It is a horrible sight. It's not a pleasant thing to see. I've got two sons, and seeing my two sons get circumcised broke me down to tears. But Yahweh's perfect will, I wanted that to be done in their life. And I didn't want to, and trust me, after you see the first one get done and you may have another son, you have second thoughts about going through that pain again. Because it causes pain to the father to see that happening to your son because you can relate. And yes, it hurts the mother too, but the father, that's one thing for doggone sure, that the father is going to relate to happening to his child. Just like a father will never know what the pain is of bearing a child, that's something unique to a mother and a daughter. This is something that is totally unique to a father and son as well. You know? But you want his perfect will to be done, so you do it. But the world now sees it as barbaric, and you have people who want this to be totally done away with in all the world. Don't take my word for it. You can Google it. And by the way, you know, like I said, we are going to go to this Google, we'll be going to the scriptures, so make sure you have your tools handy, your Bible, your concordance, or whatever else you may use, iPad, etc. You know, but you do have a movement out there to ban this ritual. They want it banned because, like I said, they view it as being something that is barbaric and antiquated and unnecessary. There's no quote-unquote medical necessity for it, so therefore, why do it? But it's not about medical necessity. It's not about fashion. It's not about anything else but pure, unadulterated obedience to him and his word. But the world has a problem with that. How could you do that to a baby, a little baby boy? What kind of God requires something like that? That's barbarism. But unfortunately, sometimes being obedient to Yahweh, will make you do what seems to people to be atrocious acts. That's what obedience requires sometimes. You know, even Yahushua, being obedient unto death, he gave up his life to be stricken down by the very things, the very creatures he created, by the very people whom he called his chosen. These are the ones who lifted up their hands to destroy him. But it said it pleased Yahweh to do that. It pleased Yahweh to see his son being beaten 39 plus 1. You know? It pleased him. Because by his stripes, the scriptures say, we are healed. By that beating, we are healed by that. But again, no, sorry, y'all. Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks. I got some stuff. I got some things just backed up in my heart that I kind of got to vent and let out, family. So I thank you for being with me. I want to read from Psalm 79:1. And this is a psalm of Asaph. And he says, O Elohim, the heathen are come into thy inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven. The flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem. And there was none to bury them. That's how bad the slaughter was. The slaughter was so bad. They utterly destroyed the nation of Israel. That there wasn't even enough people. There wasn't even anyone there to bury the body. All were dead. All were consumed. Psalm 79:4. And this is what started to really speak to me. Because of what I see every day take place among a particular group of people that I'm included in. He says, we are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. But Asaph says, how long, Yahweh, Wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? So he's asking, and we're not even talking about what's taking place in this day and time. We're talking about things that were taking place back then, and they weren't even in captivity. They weren't even in captivity when Asaph wrote this song. They were still a free nation at the time that Asaph wrote this song. So what did Yahweh lay on his heart? What did Yahweh place in his mind to speak these words? Why did he speak them? Why did he say, we are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us? How long, Yahweh, wilt thou be angry forever? You know, a couple of weeks back, I read in Psalms 40 where he says, comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye, my people. And when you look at the Hebrew word for comfort ye, my people, when he says comfort twice, he is literally telling Isaiah, the prophet Yeshayahu, to tell the people on my behalf, I am sorry. I apologize. Look at the word. Look up that word. When he says comfort, he is literally saying, I'm sorry. I apologize. So he's asking, Asaph is asking in Psalm 79 in the fifth verse, how long are you going to be angry? I mean, it just seems like you've been angry forever. How long are you going to be jealous with this burning jealousy? How long? But we have to think in terms of how hurt Yahweh is. Think of some of the things that we've been through in our life that have hurt us. And how long, even though you may have, quote unquote, forgiven that person, it still hurts you. It still stings you. It still causes pain. And this is hundreds of years after he spoke his word on Sinai and said, I, Yahweh, your mighty one, am a jealous Elohim. I'm jealous. And, you know, let's look at that word jealous. What does it mean when we say that Yahweh is jealous? That word for jealousy comes from Hebrews 7:0-6:8, and the word is kina, jealousy, envy, zeal. And it has an embedded word in there that goes to 7:0-6:5, and the word is kana, a primitive root, to be causatively, to make zealous. That is, in a bad sense, jealous or envious. To be envious, to be moved, to provoke, to jealousy, to be zealous. So when somebody is just, think about it. It's the one thing, and even though it says in a negative sense, but understand this about the emotion of jealousy. When someone doesn't care about you, they don't get jealous. You only get jealous because you care. Jealousy is one of those emotions that even though, yes, it may be perceived as being bad, it is actually a very good emotion because it is backed by a caring for the individual. You know what the opposite of love is defined as? Not hate, but indifference. Whereas the saying goes, you couldn't care less. So jealousy is an emotion that even though, yes, it does tend to bring about some negatives within us, it is an emotion that is based within a sincere caring for something or a sincere caring for someone. Again, you don't get jealous about someone that you don't care about. And what causes you to be jealous? What brings about this jealousy? Because you feel like now that this person hasn't put you first. That there's someone invading or encroaching upon your place within their life. And those are the roots of jealousy. Now, granted, some people go a little overboard and, you know, they want to stalk somebody, slash their tires, you know, pour Coca-Cola on the paint of their car in the heat of the day, put sugar in their gas tank, tear up their clothes, cut up their clothes, put it in a tub and throw bleach on it or light their clothes on fire. You know, it is an emotion that will quickly lead to wrath and to rage if it is not quelled. Hence, Look at what's taking place with Israel. Israel was sent into captivity, and it wasn't that they weren't forewarned. Every circumstance that has been taking place in the black community, which many of which are the physical descendants of the nation of Israel. You know how we know this? Ask any African American, quote unquote rabbi, I should say, African American, any black person who has their roots in America, in the Americas. I'm not talking about somebody who, you know, may have migrated from Africa over here and by way of being becoming a citizen now, they are considered a quote unquote black American. I'm talking about somebody whose family was slaves, who were servants in the Americas. And I don't just mean the United States of America. I mean all throughout the Caribbean, Central, South America, right? Wherever, as the Moray spoke on in his teaching on Monday, wherever the triangular trade system took place, wherever they exchanged these physical laborers for molasses or tobacco, that's what I'm talking about. You have to be, your roots have to extend to that, because that's where Israel's identity fully became lost. But, see, this is the good thing about Yahweh. See, and not knowing your identity, not knowing where your roots are, is how you know. That's how you know who you are. You know who you are because you don't know who you are. Sounds confusing, don't it? But that's the mark he gave to his people. One of the things that the psalmist wrote was, let's cut them off from being a people. Show me who you are as a black person in America. You can't. I don't care if you go to Ancestry.com and give a boatload of DNA. It's only going to take you back so far. And I don't care if your family's been free for over 100 years. If at some point your lineage has to stop on one part, now the Europe, if you're part mixed with any other person, you know, your ancestry might go back a little, especially if you got some European in you. It's going to lead you back. I mean, I remember one of the well-renowned black historians, he did that. Come to find out, he traced some of his black ancestry back. But much of his other ancestry back, he was able to, he went right back to Europe. He was part Irish or something, you know? So he could find that out. He could find that portion of his ancestry out. But the other portion of his ancestry at some point hits a roadblock, at some point hits the wall. Excuse me. So back to Psalm 79:6. And listen to his plea after this. You know, after he asks, how long, Yahweh, how long are you going to be angry? Is your jealousy going to burn forever? And his next statement to him is, his next statement to Yahweh is, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdom that have not called upon thy name. If nothing else, Yahweh, remember us for that. And you know what? Yahweh is faithful because he is answering that. And the testimony of it is all those who belong to the house of Yahweh, belong to Beth Yahweh. There was a point in all of our lives we didn't call on him. There was a point in all of our lives that he called us back. He remembered that our forefathers, somewhere along the line, maybe way, 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 thousands of years down the line, were obedient in some way. And as a reward for that, he said, somewhere down the line, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to keep faithful. And you know who that ancestor was that was obedient and faithful to him? It was Abraham. So he said, because of my servant Abraham, many thousands of years down the line, I'm going to start calling some of them out. I'm going to start calling some of them out. Those who answer, I'm going to put my name out there. I'm going to put it out there, Yahweh. And those who hear it, and that little spark of light that was left within them, That little, you ever had that? You ever been out grilling, and you had that one coal that you was trying to keep lit? That one ember of coal that you were trying to keep lit, so that way it could help spark the other coals. That's what Yahweh had placed within all of us. That one little ember, that one little smoldering ember, that he knew once it got fanned, once he fanned it, woof, it was going to take off. But he did that for Abraham's sake, because Abraham was his friend. And what a faithful friend he is to still fulfill his promise thousands of years down the line. So he says, Asaph, in 79:6, Psalm 79:6, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. This hasn't even taken place yet. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O Elohim, of our salvation. And when that word help us is in Hebrew, let's look at it. And this is the cry that we need to present to our Heavenly Father. The Hebrew word is azar, and it is from 5826 in your Strong Concordance. And he's saying, and it's a primitive root, azar, to surround, that is to protect or aid us. This is what he's asking at this point. Aid us, Yahweh, surround us, protect us, put that hedge back around us that we walked away from. O Elohim of our salvation, back to 79:9. Help us, O Elohim of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. And what is he asking when he's asking Yahweh to purge away his sins? Let's look at this word. It's Hebrews 37:22, kafar. A primitive root to cover. So don't just hedge around us, Yahweh. Once you hedge around us, put a dome over top of us. The word is kafar, primitive root to cover, specifically with bitumen, figuratively to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel, appease, make an atonement, cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, to pitch, purge away, put off, make, reconcile or reconciliation for us, Yahweh. This is what he's asking. Reconcile for us, Yahweh, for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, in 79:10, wherefore should the heathen say, where is thy Elohim? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Yahweh. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And I think that's a very powerful psalm, a very powerful prayer from Asaph. Because this is what we need to do. This is how we need to gather ourselves together and cry out to Yahweh for his protection, because we are under attack. And I'm not even talking about the quote-unquote black community. I'm talking about his people. His people, and I'm sorry to anybody else who listens if they feel like, you know, that everything is associated with, you know, the black community, but that's the community that I come from. And Yahweh is gracious enough that whereas I had friends who in high school had already lost their lives due to street violence, I was able to make it out. And I know it wasn't by my doing. It wasn't because I was a good person. It's because his protection, his covering was around me. Because I did many foolish things that put my life in jeopardy. but his grace and his mercy and his kindness preserved me. You know, and I didn't forget the going online to the topic, who speaks for Yahweh. Like I said, I had a few things I had to get out. You know? And I thought that was a very powerful prayer. Because we can't do it without Yahweh. And the sad part about it is, and you know, and that's why this felt like this scripture was appropriate, because I got another scripture I want to read, going to Psalms 147, that because you don't have these people carrying the word of Yahweh, they miss this. And as a result of the fact that they are not in tune with the word of Yahweh, they are not obedient to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they can't truly help the people. And the whole point of Yahweh's word is to help the people, to help Israel as a nation, to preserve them, to keep them from dying in the streets, to keep senseless bloodshed, to bring about unity, true unity. Not some fake unity that comes about as a result of falsehood, but a unity that comes about through obedience in his word. A worldwide brotherhood and sisterhood of people who want to serve Yahweh, who are happy to be a part of this family. But if you don't have men out there that are teaching this, the people will forever be lost. The people will forever be in derision. The people will forever be without guidance, because you have men who are not qualified to speak the word of Yahweh that are out there teaching the word of Yahweh. And I'm going to read from Psalms 147. And one of the things that he says in Psalms 147 is, "Hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises to our Elohim, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Yahweh doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by names. Great is our master and great in power. His understanding is infinite. Yahweh lifted up the meek. He casted the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp, unto our Elohim." You know, I was listening to these dudes on the radio, not on the radio, but on the way home from work today, and they're singing these rap songs, and, you know, the one guy was listening to him, and he's praising himself. What if you put together something to give up praise to Yahweh? What would it do for your life? You know, 147:7. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our Elohim, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Things we can't even control, he does that. He giveth to the beasts his food and to the young ravens which cry. I remember Yahweh saying how Yahweh provides, Yahushua said how Yahweh provides for the sparrows. And he said, "Aren't you more precious than those little sparrows? Aren't you more precious in Yahweh's sight than the..." Even Yahweh said, "The animals, they are part of my creation, but they ain't precious to me as much as you are. And I take care of them. One thing's for daggone sure about a bird ain't going to starve. Unless you lock that bird in a cage. But if that bird is able to fly free, other creatures may starve. But birds are not going to starve. Not the ones that fly. They're not going to starve. You know why? Because of what they represent, Yahweh forever provides for them. And the same thing he does for mankind when they are obedient to him. 147:8. "Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepare rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountain. He giveth to the beasts his food and to the young ravens which cry. And the ravens represent an unclean bird, but he's an unclean spirit and an unclean bird. But yet he still provides for the unclean spirit and for the unclean bird. He allows them to be sustained. And if you don't believe me, think about that situation that took place within the scriptures where that person was possessed by the spirit, possessed by the demon, and they said, "We are legion, for we are many." What was the question he asked? He said, "Are you here to destroy us before it is our time?" So guess what? They know that they are being allowed to live. They are being allowed to exist. That statement right there says it all. And this is right here where he says, and he provides for the young ravens that cry, and the ravens represent unclean spirits. He delighteth not, 147:10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Yahweh taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Hallelujah. O Jerusalem, praise thy Elohim, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders. He filleth thee with the finest of wheat. He sendeth forth his commandments upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. But this is the key point right here. He showeth his words unto Yaakov, his statutes and his judgments unto Yisrael. 147:20 sums it up. He hath not dealt so with any nation. It means he ain't had this type of relationship with nobody besides Yisrael. He hath not dealt so. He has not given his statutes and his judgments to anyone else. He has not shown his word to anyone else except to Yisrael. And we who believe in Yahweh and call ourselves a part of the nation of Yisrael, we need to start taking this matter to heart. And for Yahweh's own name's sake, you know, like the scriptures say, for Zion's sake, I will not stay silent. For Yahweh's sake, for the wanting and the desire of seeing the heavenly reign of Yahweh take place upon this earth, so that we are no longer oppressed, so that we are no longer downtrodden, so that we are no longer looked upon as less than human beings. You see, you got all these false teachers, you got all these false ministers, you got these Farrakhan, and you know, I can't listen to that fool. I don't care what he kicks out. What does anybody have to say to me other than what comes out of the scriptures? I got enough prophets. I got enough people from antiquity that speak to me. Why do I need to listen to a Farrakhan? And listen to his name, Khan, Farrakhan, when I am a child of Yisrael. And it's no coincidence that in English, we pronounce it as Israel. Why? It sounds like this, Israel. And we know that in Hebrew it is Yisrael. But in English, you know, we pronounce it, we have taken it and called the term Israel. But see how smooth an operator that Yahweh is to have the word sound like is real, as in it is real, he is real, the God of Israel is real. He is the only real God. And only those who call upon him are worthy to speak his word. I hate to hear Farrakhan speak. Farrakhan, the biggest con in the entire history of the black community, because he has done nothing for black people. Farrakhan has done not one good thing for black people. Oppression that they have been in while he sits on a gold toilet in his house. So what he got to say to me? As a matter of fact, the very city that he resides in, Oprah Winfrey resides in, Michael Jordan resides in, who every time Oprah Winfrey comes up and endorses something, we flock to it. You know why they put out Michael Jordan sneaker at the time of the year they put them out? Because the last thing they want is for there to be a snowstorm and the people can't get to his store to buy his sneaker. But I bet you that even in the midst of the fiercest blizzard, if Michael Jordan's sneaker were to come out in the middle of a blizzard, you would have tens of thousands of black people and others flocking to buy his sneaker. But he's right there in the midst of Chicago, the city who's his claim to fame, where he gained his renown, is in such a bad state that they have nicknamed it Chi-Rac. But you've got three of the most powerful people in black history residing in Chicago: Farrakhan, Ofer, and Michael Jordan. You mean to tell me they even Barack Obama is from Chicago? That's where he got his claim to fame and his renown is from Chicago. But look at all that's come out of Chicago, still resides in Chicago, and look at the state that Chicago's in. I see that clown Common, who I used to like as a rapper before he sold himself out. Kanye West, all these people that we flock to support their album, support their music. What are they doing for the sake of saving Chicago? What are those of us down here in Baltimore doing for the sake of saving Baltimore? You know, we are at a murder a day. We are going to surpass a murder a day within the next 30 days or 20 some odd days. There will be a quote unquote new year that comes in. And within that 365 day period, more than one person will be murdered a day. Back to Psalms 147:20. It says, "He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them." Hallelujah. The only nation that has known the one true God is this nation of Israel, not the nation of Islam, not the Seventh-day Adventists, not the Catholics, not the Methodists, not the Jehovah's Witness, but the nation of Israel. And those of us who have been privileged to be awakened to this reality need to accept it as such and do what it is that we need to do in order to bring about Yahweh's divine will. It ain't going to come through no Umar Johnson. It ain't going to come through Farrakhan. It ain't going to come through Professor Griff. It ain't going to come through Oprah. It ain't going to come through Michael Jordan. It ain't going to come through Elijah Cummings. It ain't going to come through, what's the dude's name? Whatever his name is, the Power Temple dude. It ain't going to come through none of them. Because they have not dialed in to the source of what is going to heal, the source of what will heal our community. They haven't dialed into that. So everybody's looking to them. You know, I heard this week 100 ministers went to endorse Donald Trump. So now Donald Trump is going to become the new black community, quote-unquote, savior. Donald Trump, if he gets elected president, we will officially have our first monarchy in the United States of America. I guarantee you that. If he becomes president, Trump will never abdicate the throne. I can guarantee you that. He would never have to worry about leaving that office. He will be the first monarch to officially be in the United States of America. But I don't care about that political stuff. I'm just saying the fact that they're looking towards him They're blessing him. And hoping that their prayer will be answered, because now he will come in and he will save us from all of our ills as a people. He has a plan for the black community, as one of the pastors said. The other pastor, I believe his name is James Taylor, that was debating with Jamal Bryant. He's got a plan for the black community. Guess what, dummy? To all you preachers out there, guess what, fools? Power over the nation of Israel has a plan that been laid out for eons for us. For thousands of years, he's had a plan laid out for us. And he's told us what would happen if we were obedient and what would happen if we were disobedient. And all we have to do is follow his guidelines, follow his instructions. Actually do what the book says. Don't just carry around this book, but actually do what the book says. I bet you if we do that, guess what? Things will change for us. But the sad part about it is we not. So the only way that this change is going to take place, the skies have to part like a scroll. They will have to see him whom they pierced, and he will have to rule with a rod of iron in order for his will to be done. But see, we who are of Beth Yahweh, and I don't just mean my particular congregation, but those who are truly of the house of Yisrael, those who are truly obedient servants to Yahweh, see, we want to make sure that when he comes back, that we are ready to roll with him. You know, this is the season of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But guess what? Our Savior said, don't think I came to bring peace. He said, I come to bring the sword. That means when he comes, you know, like how in them old karate movies, you saw before you saw the samurai coming, you saw his sword drawn. That's how he coming. See, he took the beat down the first time around. He took it. He allowed himself to be whipped the first time around. But this time, guess what he's doing? He coming to do the whipping himself. You know how, you know, James Brown had a song, The Big Payback, that's when I laugh. Oh, he coming for the big payback. Believe that, world. He ain't going to allow himself to be beat upon this time. You ain't going to pluck out his beard this time. You ain't going to spit in his face this time. You ain't going to make him carry his own execution stake this time. Nah, son, this time he coming back to fight. He coming back to war this time. To all y'all out there enjoying the spirit of this season, enjoy it while you can. Because that sissified God that you serve, when Yahushua HaMashiach come back, oh, he going to deal with him. He going to deal with him. And he's going to deal with him good. He going to whoop his hail, as they say in the streets. He going to whoop his tail. So, family, let us not continue to be silent. Let us not continue to sit back and let this thing happen. Let's be active participants in bringing about the will of our Heavenly Father, because he called us to do so. He doesn't want us to be silent. He doesn't want us to be on the bench. You know what he wants? He wants people that are so zealous. I mean, think about it. People that are so zealous for his word that it's like that person who is the star player. He wants us all to be like that star player that says, "Give me the rock, give me the rock, give me the rock." Whether you're a football player, give me that football. I'm gonna make a play today. Whether you're a basketball player, hey, 0.4 seconds left, we need 1 point, put the ball in my hand so that I can shoot this jumper at the buzzer. That's what he wants from all of us. You know, you're the final batter up at the plate. He wants you to be Big Poppy at that point and get up there and save the game by scoring the winning home run or getting that one crucial RBI that you need in order to get that winning run. That's what he wants. Or if you're in the opposite position as the pitcher, he wants you to be like my man from the New York Yankees that they call the closer, that once he got in there, they brought him in because they knew he would almost guarantee them a win. He wants us to be that type of person. He wants us to have that zeal. He wants us to have that confidence in his ability that once it's that time to speak, you speak, it boldly. It doesn't mean you go out and insult people, but you speak with the assurance that the word of truth has been placed within your being. So family, I hope everybody enjoys their Shabbat evening. I hope that everybody enjoys Shabbat service tomorrow. I hope that this lesson has been a blessing. And I pray that Yahweh protect, keep, and preserve all of you until the next time that we can get together. That Yahweh bless and keep you all. And that your day, peace, and love, and that your Shabbat be filled with joy and happiness. And on that note, family, I'm going to say Shalom.
Darkest hour, it's